if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, chilling. You?
Good to be back, baby.
Good. Glad to have you back, Sander. You had this all paranoid with the baby. Was it going to come? Was it not?
Yeah, it was just a scare.
Yeah,
scare.
Hopefully sooner than later. You know, you guys are very excited at home for the baby to get here. But nonetheless, guys, I'm very excited to talk sports today, and I'm going to get down to business right to our show, to our game last night in Atlanta, because unfortunately that boy Greek Freak Giannis Antetokounmpo took a very bad fall and hyperextended his knee and is possibly out for the rest of the playoffs. Pride, and you know, whenever a team loses their star player, it really does shift the dynamic of where a series could go. Obviously, when you lose your big gun, you're in jeopardy of not only your performance dipping, but your whole morale. You know, once you lose the big guy, it's like, I'm not saying Giannis is LeBron, but in the sense of when you lose LeBron, your team's like, oh, we got to work a little harder today. You know what I'm saying, Brian? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Bucks could still win this series regardless if Giannis comes back or not?
First and foremost, I understand what you were saying about the whole LeBron thing. You're not trying to say he's on the level of LeBron. However, when you're the best player, you have the effect. So I know what you mean by that. So I don't want you thinking, you know, I'm not going to twist your words this time and be like, oh, you're thinking on this. I ain't going to do that. You feel me? That's too much energy for me to do today, so I ain't going to reach that bad. Now, can they? Depends. Is Trae Young going to come back? He's listed as questionable. Now, if he comes back, maybe – or I'm sorry, if he doesn't come back, maybe. But again, you kind of – who's going to step up for them? Chris Middleton? I mean, again, I like Chris Middleton, but again, I feel stupid saying this because a few shows ago, I was saying he might be the Batman. Now, all of a sudden, my man's out here playing like Oracle. If you guys don't know who Oracle is, that's who Batwoman was after she got shot in her back, became completely useless in the field. She was basically in a wheelchair, and she had to basically pretend to be relevant again. Yeah. So that's how he was playing. I don't know, bro. This is wild. If Chris Middleton cannot step up, these dudes is losing. There's no debate. Again, if all your marbles – it's kind of like the Clippers effect. If all your marbles are in Paul George, you're beat. If all your marbles are in Chris Middleton's hands, if Chris Middleton is going to lead your franchise to success, guess what? You're failing, bro. You're failing. You guys ever seen the Challenger explode? Well, guess what? This is going to be an even bigger explosion because ain't no way – and ain't no way Chris Middleton –
damn.
And if they somehow get out of here, they're getting swept in 2.5 whoever they face in the finals. That's really it. If Giannis don't come back, I don't know. Because again, like, and I try not to be mean, right? I try not to
look at a face. Look at a face.
But I saw it live. I laughed. Now let me explain why I laughed. I laughed because when you first saw it live, right, in real time, you didn't see the hyperextension. What it looked like was that the pressure was too much for Giannis, so he fell down. It was like, oh, because the way he fell was so slow. So at first you're like, what is going on? Then you see this slow-mo and you saw his leg, and I was like, oh, that's real. My bad.
I think it's always funny when a guy that big falls. When a guy that big falls, probably it's like it takes him so long to hit the ground.
you know what it kind of meant, how slow he fell? I don't know if you guys watch Kevin Hart. When he was talking about Shaq, he was, oh no. And then he was falling massive. That's how he fell. Like by the time he fell. I got up, I changed both my kids' diapers, made a sandwich, came up, my guy still didn't hit the ground. And I'm like, so you in? What's going on? Like, I'm now in suspense.
It sounds like you were in Inception time.
Bro, no. Bro, called like 4 timeouts, and Giannis not even halfway down. And I'm like, bro, at this point, bro, you shoot free throws faster than you fall. Like, let's speed this up, bro. Like, is this a late game? But I don't know. I just, again, your second best player being Chris Middleton, I can't put faith in you. I can't put faith in you. They had Giannis for the first half. They played like morons. Let me say it one more time. They played like morons. One more time for the people in the back so you didn't hear. They played like morons. These dudes shooting like, oh, yeah, bro. We got Steph and Klay on the field. You squint and go, wait a minute.
They shoot hella threes.
Like, that's what they're like. Yo, does Steph and Klay get a 10? No, dummy, that's Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. They're not the Splash Brothers. Stop it. What are you doing? And you got PJ Tucker with his ripped jersey thinking he Rico Suave trying to show some chest. Don't show chest, bro. Show me a bucket. Because you're out here bricking, like, the corner threes, which is supposedly your specialty. You're like a corner three and D guy, right? That's what I was told, right? And I fell for it. You feel me? I got fooled. I was bamboozled, as the children say. And this dude out here bricking it. I'm like, bro. Early in the group chat, I was making a joke, right? I don't know what problem you could fix, right? This team's mentality or my back. I don't know which is going to be worse to fix, but it's to the point where they're both impossible. For anyone who doesn't know, I broke my back in a car accident.
Spinal.
To quote the great Mike Tyson, spinal. Okay. And these dudes really got the nerve to look at me in my face and tell me, "We good." We good. Bro, no. The only thing you need to hope is that you got gum plane tickets because y'all going to Cancun. 1, 2, 3, Cancun. That's where y'all about to go. And I feel like a fool because my stupid self was rooting for them. Against the Nets, I was rooting for them. I was bleeding dark green. I'm a Celtics fan, and I was still bleeding green for these dudes. And I hate Giannis. I hate him.
So what are you telling me? You going negative 10?
It happens, bro.
I'm going to put it to you this way. I have a better chance beating the Beast Titan with no equipment than the Bucks have winning one game without Giannis. I'm putting it like that.
Can I double that?
Triple it.
I'm with you right there, bro. I'm
getting off the show. You better triple it.
Yo, there was this crazy stat where, you know, because regardless to what Giannis is known as a durable player, he doesn't usually get hurt. And in a 4-season span without Giannis, the record was like 14-15. So this team is, if you're expecting them to win without Giannis, like being led by Middleton, who shows up for one game and then the next six off and then shows up for the next game and then takes off the other six, it's like probably he competes for probably one of the most consistent players in the NBA currently. Him and Paul George take 1 and 2. You can't go wrong with either or, because that's how inconsistent they are. But regardless to what, guys, I just think that Atlanta is playing with this swag. They're seeing blood in the air, because obviously the Hawks are not in the water, so they're not gonna see blood in the water. They see blood in the air. They see a wounded buck trying to get inside the woods. But guess what? The Hawks right now, they see in red, guys. Atlanta is live as they've ever been. Trae Young most likely is going to be back from that bone bruise that he had that kept him out of the last game. And I'm sorry, my mans, but if you don't got Giannis to match whatever, because we all agree here that Giannis is a walking on a good night, a walking 30 piece, 30, 14, 30, 15, and on a great, he's going to give you 35 to 40. That's okay. But now the Bucks don't have anything. They don't have that to offset anything good that Atlanta could give you, because not for nothing, you hit it on the these dudes were, you would have thought this was Golden State out there trying to shoot so many threes, and it was just ugly, bro. Like, they're not a 3-point team, bro.
You're Giannis Antetokounmpo. You just airballed 2 free throws,
and
but
shot
I'm gonna go shoot a 3-pointer.
What bothered me is he got the ball and it's hidden in his mind. He was like, this is a smart thing to do. And I'm like, that is like, not only is that not the smart thing to do, but that is so far beyond stupid, bro, that like you're like,
Shaq. It's like Shaq.
Worse.
Giannis is worse. A skinny Shaq. Okay.
Worse.
A bit in shape Shaq. Okay. Out there in the perimeter. Like, dude, can you imagine if Shaq was out there just jacking bees? As dominant as Shaq is in the post, can you? Because Giannis is dominant in the post. He gets to where he wants. Can't nobody stop him. Guess what? You know who's another dude that is unstoppable on this Bucks team in the mother effing post and doesn't put the post? Brook Lopez. The dude, the tallest guy other than Giannis, he's the other tallest guy on the court, and he's on the perimeter, bro. It's real talk. I'm sorry, Nate McMillan is the better coach right now this series.
Right now,
he's out coaching him, and it just looks like right now that the Atlanta Hawks are playing with this poise, with this type of calm attitude. They didn't get overhyped even after Giannis went down. They stopped Milwaukee from going on runs. They held it down defensively. Like you said, it's Atlanta's fault. If they want to shoot threes, let it be so. If you want to shoot 50, 60 threes, my man, go ahead. But you're only going to make like 10 or 15 of them. Mm-hmm. So don't get mad when you look up at the scoreboard and Atlanta is either blowing you out or doing what they want offensively, because Milwaukee has shown this series that they could be dominant. Right, that game, that what was it, game two, where they blew them out of the water, and then they show us things like yesterday, regardless to what Giannis going down. Even before that, Atlanta was doing what they wanted. So it's just, and to me, guys, I told you this, JJ, on the show before that I was on before. This is a game for Middleton and Holiday to try and step up, and Giannis went down. And they needed to step up, and it just shows that the pressure is too much, bro. It's too much. They're not a big three. It all those cowards that were talking, oh, that's a big three. That's a big three. That's not a big three. It's Giannis, who's a great big one, and two supplementary pieces that can be good at spurts. And Middleton, my God. You know, I hear some guys on TV, because it's like, if they're saying bullshit like that on TV and getting paid millions, we gonna be making bread real soon, baby. Because they're talking about Middleton is the superstar of this team. Regardless to what Middleton can do offensively that Giannis can't, that team runs by Giannis. Because you don't see last time I checked, you don't see Middleton putting up 35, 30 every single game like Giannis is. That's all Giannis. All Giannis needs is a solid 25, 28 from Middleton and Holiday to drop in a 20-piece, do his thing defensively, and the Bucks got this series, bro. But that hasn't been the case because Middleton has been one of the most inconsistent all-stars, and I say all-stars, I'm going to keep it a stack with the both of you guys.
It's because
the only reason why he was an all-star – no. The only reason why he's an all-star is because the time he wasn't – star, Giannis picked them twice. So let's not act like if it went by votes and starters and all that, Middleton would have been voted in as an all-star. Maybe as a reserve, because you know,
as a reserve, definitely, yes.
But far as vote wise, the only reason why you got picked is because Giannis picked you, bro. Mm-hmm. Even though you would have been a reserve if it wasn't for Giannis being the captain. But nonetheless, guys. Inconsistency is ruining the Milwaukee Bucks, and they've invested so much money in these guys. They got Giannis for long term, they got Middleton for long term, they got Holiday. And I'm not gonna give to, I know I gave a lot of shit to Holiday the time that he gave up 48 to Trent. After a little bit of evaluation, I give you guys point 100%. I understand that the third guy giving 30. And, you know, hey, look, he dropped 50, 48 because that was just a great game. I understand that now. I give you that. But, dude, Middleton, this is your moment, bro. Show us what you can do. And just the inconsistency, guys. I'm sorry. Right now, I'm calling it right now. If Giannis, and people are going to say the same, if Giannis isn't here for the rest of the series, they won't win another game. They will not win another game. So I'm sorry, but if you say 1 to 10, I'm at 3 right now, because I still think some crazy way that the Milwaukee Bucks are still respectable enough with the roster without Giannis that they could put up a fight. But could you imagine, brother, if the Antetokounmpo goes off? You're like, oh, you messed up one, but we got the brother. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? But no. But
anyways, guys, I think it's a coupon on the back, but it ain't Giannis.
You know what I'm saying? But still, guys, nonetheless, yo, I think right now the fact that Giannis is hurt. Now, my confidence with the Bucks goes as far as what's going on with Giannis. If he plays, I still think the Bucks can win it. If he doesn't play, I'm sorry, but Nate McMillan and those Atlanta Hawks are well coached. And I'm sorry, I just think the Atlanta Hawks will win the series if he doesn't play.
100%. And by the way, just real quick, JJ, let me just hop in here. To piggyback on your point, like, about fucking up. to piggyback about Chris Middleton, I feel like if he were to give me 15, I wouldn't mind, right? What I notice about them is he starts the game, and he feels like I got to average 30 to be looked at as good, right? My thing is, bro, if you don't touch the ball to the third quarter, get a couple shots in the third quarter, get your mojo going, take over in the fourth. You give me 15 points in the fourth. If you do what Boogie did for the Clippers, this dude gave me, if I smoke it, he gave me 15 in 11 minutes.
In 11 minutes.
If you can do that, if Boogie can do that, there's no excuse for you. There's 100%. No excuse. So my me, bro, personally, I would say, yo, you need to turn up in the fourth. Like, let's give him half the third to, like, get his shot going, and then you need to take over in the fourth. Because it's – you need to figure out a role for him because he's virtually – he's becoming untradeable. With each passing day, with that contract and the way he's been playing, he's becoming untradeable. So the Bucks are going to have to keep him, and they're going to have to put him somewhere. He's going to have to play with how much money you're making him, just like when Memphis had Chandler Parsons. Whenever he stopped, even though he was injury prone, when they had him, was he the best? No. But they were paying him, so they overpaid him so Dallas wouldn't get him. And they paid him so much that they needed to put him on the floor. That's what's going to happen with Chris Middleton. And he's going to have to, if anything, bro, just turn up in the fourth. Be a no-show, three quarters, I don't mind. If you turn up in the fourth and you give me 15, I'm cool with it. But go ahead, JJ.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, you threatened me if I wasn't going to hat trick this one. But you're right, guys. You know, I really give them – if I had it from a scale of 1 to 10, even if Giannis doesn't come back, a 3. I think that you nailed it. If he doesn't come back, a 1. Because honestly, listen, injuries and players aren't built the same, guys. Giannis really depends on his size and his ability and his athleticism. Sorry. He's not a shooter. If he can't beat you athletically, who is Giannis? You know what I mean? He'll be a dead body out there. Maybe he could throw his hands up. Maybe put a little pressure on
him. He'll be his third.
But you'll be challenging his movement. With that knee, he's going to be very limited, and he's a guy. He's not like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant can pull up from anywhere. He don't even need legs, bro. He could be out there in a wheelchair and has a shot to make buckets. Giannis can't do that. Giannis can't shoot to save his life, and I'm going to emphasize on my point while you were talking, Sander. You airball 2 free throws, yet you're going to go on the three-point line and think that you're going to bang that one? That's not your game, Giannis. Listen, Middleton, inconsistent as hell. He's the guy that you really need to give you at least a consistent 20. Forget 15, Pride. You need 20. The way this guy's getting paid, he has to give you 20. 15 could come from Jrue Holiday. That's fine because Jrue Holiday is supposed to have other focuses on the court, defending Trae Young and other guys. I believe Jrue Holiday made first team all defense, right? That's supposed to be his calling card. You're supposed to play defense. So if you get anything past 15 from Jrue Holiday, it's a good day if you're Milwaukee. But listen, I think that the Hawks do walk away from this game 4 victory with a big confident boost too. Hey, I know they lost Giannis, but we beat them without Trey. And we look pretty damn good without doing it as well, you know. And they never let go. They were in control the whole game. They didn't blow the lead. So it's not like they were succumbing to the pressure even in their own building. I think that they're going to play just fine going. Just knowing that Giannis is going to be limited, Pride, I think gives Atlanta a lot of confidence going back to Milwaukee, considering they already won game one there already.
Yeah, and like you said, like it's tough because top to bottom, fully healthy, obviously the Bucks team is better. Their issue right now is they know they're better. Why is that an issue? If you watch for the Bucks, it was a tale of two halves, bro. If they played the second half that same way in the first half, if they kept that if they played the same way, they would have won. They would have won. But no, now you got you out here letting John Collins had a bad night. But we were talking about Bogey. This dude was getting the ball, hitting threes.
Looks
and
healthier.
He's like, he's backpedaling like, y'all can't guard me. When you got him looking at you in your face, and while he's checking you, is chirping at you. You can't let him do that. And obviously, like I said, that man Lou Will. My God. Yo, I'm going to tell you this right now. If Lou Will wins a ring before the Clippers, wow! Because he was a problem. He was a problem. And they traded him to get Rondo, who would fix the problem. And now look at that man go. Look at that man go. I don't know what it is, bro.
He's a good problem to have, man.
We made jokes about Lemon Pepper Lou, but guess what? He been there every weekend, and all of a sudden, that Lemon Pepper, bro, that pepper, that seasoning, he's seasoning his game, and all of a sudden, my man making buckets for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
How about your boy Gallinari?
10 points?
Come on, bro. Hey, like the man said, two girls with me like I'm Lou.
I'm telling you, bro. The first half, and the thing with this Hawks team, the way they're playing, they're trying to prove this ain't a fluke. We're not here because we got lucky. We proven we here. And to be honest with this game, I don't care if they lose 4-1. This game right here, the way they dominated, even when they had Giannis, because people are saying the only reason that the Bucks lost is because they didn't have Giannis. I'm like, if that's what you think, you didn't watch the game.
Yeah, you're bugging.
Yeah, you're smoking herbs. Whatever you're smoking, I need some of that because I want to be that delusional. I need to be that because it's wild how people said that. And I'm like, no, you forget. Before that knee thing, Giannis was on the floor, and Lou Will still giving him, bro. And you still got Bogey looking at him.
Giannis only put up 6 points in the first half.
Exactly. So I'm like, look.
And didn't have no points in the quarter.
No, and I'm like, bro, would he have probably dropped 30? Yes, he would have. There's no debate. But to act like that would have changed everything. I'm like, no, it wouldn't have because these guys were still hitting buckets. Like this Hawks team, Jesus Christ, I gotta apologize to the Hawks, bro, because I honestly was like, oh yeah, bro, they'd make me here. I said Bucks in seven. Jesus, bro, I don't know, I'm out of my mind, bro. I'm a clown for that. There's a lot of apologies I gotta do at the end of this NBA season. And like,
my Hawks in six prediction is not looking too bad now.
I apologize to you for that. JJ, I'm sorry for that, because when you said it, I thought you were bugging. Now I'm bugging for not giving you the opportunity. So I apologize, 110%, bro. Look, when the NBA season's over, there's gonna be a whole lot of apologies I'm gonna have to give up. Obviously, Paul George's not gonna be one of them. We're gonna get to that later. But I'm telling you, man, like Atlanta's gotta be up there. These guys, the way they're playing, they're not even playing with house money no more. No. They're not even playing with house money because now in their minds, it's almost as if like, oh yeah, now we gotta win. Like now they're expecting to win. Like it felt like during the Sixers, they were like,
they got their hands on their neck.
Yeah, it's like when they beat the Sixers, they're like,
oh, pride, Sander. Let's be serious. Atlanta right now is like, yo, we could go to the finals for real, for real.
For real. Bro. Like before, after they beat the 76ers, it was like a whole, wow, I'm just happy to be here. This is
Wow.
Like, it was like a freshman. They were like freshmen walking in high school for the first time. Like, 100%. Wow, this is it? And now all of a sudden, now they're the seniors who are like, got their, they sitting at the teacher's desk.
Don't they got a college feel to it? Don't it have like an NCAA college like tournament feel to it? A little bit with the Atlanta Hawks. It's like a dance, like, oh my god, like the Sweet 16 shit. Like,
I don't want to say necessarily Cinderella story, but I know what you mean.
These dudes
is playing great. I've been slandering them for a while now, but I've been low key slandering because the thing is I was like, if I'm wrong, I got to eat it. But now, like I said, there's a whole apology. I might have to tweet out Trae Young. He probably gonna ignore me, but you know. He still looks like if you put a popsicle on the carpet. So
I love watching Atlanta play the games, though. Like when you're watching on TV, because nothing but watching Quavo and the Migos be right there front row, just cheering them on. That energy, that Atlanta's hype right now. When they go back to Atlanta, all the Atlanta rappers are going to be there. Like the Atlanta rappers is going to help them win.
Don't let there be some finals game in Atlanta. You know it's going to get popping in Atlanta. You know that for sure. But yeah, guys. Anyways, before we do go to the next section, next topic, I just want to say this one more time. Hawks and six. But moving on, let's move on to the West, guys. Because tonight the Clippers do host the Phoenix Suns and they're down 3-2. And the Clippers are coming off a big game off of, should I say it? Playoff P. Playoff P came out, dropped a career playoff high of 41 points. And they ended up winning a big game in Phoenix. I thought they were cooked. I came out here. I told King Joffrey, listen, your Clippers are cooked today, Poppy. He goes, no, they're done. And then they came out. Marcus Morris dropped 20. Reggie Jackson dropped 20+. Like I said, PG dropped 41. And they shut me the hell up. So, Sander, game six in Staples Center. Are we going to get pandemic P or are we going to get playoff P?
You know, it's so crazy. I'm going to sound crazy, but I don't care because that's what I like to do. We're going to see playoff P. You ready? Pride, I got it. But it's going to be in a loss.
That sounds all right.
I feel because no, and I'm gonna give the man his fault because for the past 7 years, since Kawhi's been gone, he's been averaging over 30 and 8. So I understand like he has elevated his game since Kawhi's been gone. So I'm not gonna slander him too much. He has leveled up in his nickname game. Remember, he's from number 13 to P13 to Paul George. So I think you're gonna get playoff P right now because on that type of stretch of late. But I just think, guys, this game is so important for Chris Paul, man, because just the mindset, just having the mentality like, oh damn, I'm up 3-1 and lost. I'm up 3-2 and I've lost. I've been up 2-0 and lost 4 straight. Chris Paul has kind of been, you know, the player version of Doc Rivers sometimes collapse. Chris Paul has probably holds the most collapse in the playoffs. And, you know, not all of this has been to his fault because, you know, he has hurt in injuries. He has been hurt. He has been, you know, out for series, which has derailed his chances of advancing and stuff. Nonetheless, this is something that always creeps up when it comes to Chris Paul every single year when he's in the playoffs. I think right now this is a must-win game. The Phoenix Suns cannot afford to go to Game 7 with the Clippers. They need to finish it right now because I'll tell you this, as much as, you know, Chris Paul has done great things for Phoenix, the Clippers are still the more experienced team. They still have players on that roster that have been in the playoffs, been in tough situations. And if they catch the Suns slipping, they can bendición tía. If they catch the Suns slipping, they could maybe sneak out of a Game 7 with a win. Because let's call a spade, guys. Paul George has been playing phenomenally since Kawhi's been down. Ever since Kawhi gone down, the dude stepped up. And if they continue playing the way they're playing in a Game 7, they could squeak out a win. As you look at all four teams, every single team has a chance to reach the finals. As much as we could trash the Clippers and all that, they still have a chance to reach the finals. So I just think Chris Paul needs to put all that noise aside, and I think he can do it, guys. This is – they call him one of the greatest stars of all time. He has this nickname that I'm not okay with because I don't think he has earned that name yet.
Point God?
I just don't think he's that yet. I mean, maybe with a few rings, maybe, or maybe with one to solidify his entire career, he'll be a point God. But a point God right now with a ringless God, I've never seen it. So what I'm trying to say is he needs to make sure that he puts all this noise aside, gets the Booker ready, gets DeAndre Ayton, because I'm predicting for this game 6 that DeAndre Ayton is going to be the reason why Phoenix Suns go to the final, because this is his time to dominate and eat. 2020, that's what I'm hoping, predict for a 2020 game. And I'm just thinking right now that Chris Paul is going to strap up, put on his beats, forget about all the damn State Farm commercials that he's on. I feel like he's on one every single day. I watch TV. I see Chris Paul on TV. But nonetheless, when you got a killer like Devin Booker and you got a dude in DeAndre Ayton who can dominate the post and get anything from the Clippers, because I know DeMarcus Cousins made some noise, right? But that was because, honestly, I think the dude is just fighting for a contract. He said some dumb comment about him being played and all that stuff. Yeah, he was averaging some good points when he was in Sacramento, but he started getting hurt. And if you thought you was getting a max deal after you started getting hurt, bro, forget about it. That's not how the NBA works, dude. But nonetheless, I just don't think that Chris Paul is going to allow – I think he's going to do anything to will his team to not Game 7. Because if they go to Game 7, I'm telling you right now, and I might say I want the Phoenix Suns to win. If they go to Game 7, I believe the Clippers could win that game because it goes down to experience. You got a young team in Phoenix led by an experienced Chris Paul. But guess what? The experience he has is collapsing. It's not like he has experience winning and advancing or in getting through these type of things. His experience, unfortunately, is losing in type of situations. So you don't want to get in that situation again because it's just deja vu all over again. Jose, you are bugging, bro. You are bugging. I'm not going to sit here and disrespect CP3 saying he's not a winner. He definitely is a winner. But, you know, I just don't
There's just levels to winning.
Yeah, I just don't think that CP3 is going to allow himself – I think he'll do anything it takes willingly to get his team the dub because he has to. This is a must win for him, be mentally and just physically, because everybody should here agrees that this is really the last chance he might have to win in a chip. So, because teams are going to come reloaded next season. So if he doesn't do it now and slay this dragon that he has, a ring being that is, if he doesn't get to the ring now, I think he'll probably go down as the greatest point guard to never win a championship.
So, Jose, for you to say he's not a winner, that just shows that basketball is something you can't even spell. Never mind. Properly, no. It's called the Chris Paul effect. Everywhere he goes, their winning percentage actually goes up, even in Houston. So before you
even say in OKC,
please check to see what you're saying, because, you know, sometimes when you say something, you don't sound like you know what you're talking about. So, but I still love you, though. We still Red Sox fans, so I ain't going to kill you too much. So you're asking about this, the most overrated, pathetic excuse of a superstar. I unfortunately have to speak about
that. Is the most Jose thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yo, this dude's funny. But we're here to speak about the most. He's not even a superstar. He's a star at best. He's blessed that people even refer to him as a star. We're probably gonna get paid to McPhee. I don't trust Paul George. Again, I'm asking you a question. If you trust Paul George, go ask Indiana. Hit them up and ask them how it worked out. Talk to Larry Bird and ask him, how did it work out putting all your chips on Paul George? Ask him. I'll wait. Go ask an OKC. When this man was shooting horribly and he let game hit a game winner in his eye, and he was so much of a crybaby, he was like, oh, it's a bad shot. Then years later, when he finally got over it, it was a good shot. Ask OKC how it went. Go ask OKC. This is the same dude who helped choke a 3-1 lead last year. Go ask Steve Ballmer if you really want him. Go ask Steve Ballmer.
If you saw the face.
If you go put Steve Ballmer on a lie detector test right now, you put him right now. He said, man, look, he's only here because we need to get Kawhi here. That's it. That's the only reason. Because we need Kawhi here. And if we let him walk, Kawhi's leaving. That's it. This is the same man, who game one shot 38%. This is the same man who game two barely shot over 43%. Took him 23 shots to get 26 points. This is the same man, game three, had 34% from the field. This is the same man who shot 5 for 20. I'm going to say it one more time. 5 for 20 to put them in the 3-1 hole. So if you expect me to tell you, yeah, bro, playoff P finna come in. No, he not, bro. You know what? I'll call him playoff P, because guess what? His name begins with a P, and he in the playoffs. That's the closest to playoff P this clown going to get to. And you hear afterwards talking about, oh, bro, I'm the most slandered superstar ever. Bro, have you not heard of a guy named, oh, I don't know, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, yeah, Magic Johnson, even Kareem? Kareem was slandered when he left the Bucks to go to L.A., and they were slandering him. So you're telling me Larry never said nothing? What about the Bad Boys when they was calling him dirty and filthy while they was winning? What, all of a sudden they didn't exist? Like, come on, bro.
Kevin Durant.
Stupid. Yeah, Kevin Durant, the snake in the grass, the little weasel. And you're here talking about.
He deserves that shit.
And then Paul George is like, oh my god, poor.
And not for nothing, I'm gonna let you finish, Pride, but just like you said, KD deserves that shit. Playoff P deserves that shit too.
Because
he named himself Playoff P.
Say it louder. Because look,
how do you
he gave it to himself.
Dude, Shaq didn't come out talking about, oh, I'm Superman. He didn't call himself Diesel. Paul Pierce didn't call himself the truth.
Magic.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant didn't come out talking about, you better call me the Black Mamba. Someone blessed them with this name. If you need to convince me to call you by your nickname, you lost me already. Because listen, bro, my man's like, oh yeah, bro, I'm playoff Pete. Nah, dog, you're not. You smell like Pete, and you in the playoffs. Nah, bro, because I'm sick and tired of this dude, bro. This is the same dude who had one great game, a phenomenal game. You take that away, my dude, you're getting out. In terms of efficiency, Reggie Jackson's putting up more buckets than you, bro. It's funny. Every time they need a crucial bucket, it's not in Paul George's hands. You see Paul George asking for it. You see him asking for it, and you got Morris talking about, yeah, you smoking, kid. Yo, Reggie, come here. Take this rock, kid. Go ahead. Run ISO. What? And so this dude has one game. A phenomenal game, might I add. I'm not going to knock him. He shot 75% from the field, 5 for 20.
It was an impressive game.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock him for that. But if that's going to erase everything else, when the next best game he had was 43%, it's around the same percentage as Russell Westbrook shoots, and we say Russell Westbrook is inefficient.
Yeah.
We call this man inefficient. And then he got here talking about, they're mean to me. I'm going to fake depression against that way.
DeMarcus Cousins said he's one of the greatest to ever lace them up.
And DeMarcus Cousins is the same dude who's saying anything to get a contract. Let's just put it on the table. Let's put it on the table because I'm going to tell you this right now. If he was in Boston, guess what?
He might be hurting that call, actually.
He down bad. He is down bad. Now, he might punch me if he ever sees him. That's why I'm never leaving my house. But he is down bad, bro. If he played for Boston, guess what? Jason Tatum is the best player in the league. It is not even close. The gap between him and second is so great. So we're talking about a guy who right now is down so bad that if you say, yo, DeMarcus, you're going out there and play shirtless, he go, am I getting paid? You say, yeah, he'll do it. This ain't Sacramento Boogie who don't care, who used to try to beat up media guys. This ain't the same Boogie. This Boogie down bad, and he know it. Talking about, I don't even know why I play no more. Because of the checks are just for you.
He the Vita Guerrero of the NBA getting tossed around by all great players.
Bro, this dude just.
He's great.
What bothers me about it, right, is he has one good game, right? And all these Clippers fans who, if you say, yo, you like the Clippers, they think about haircuts. All these Clippers fans want to all of a sudden act like, oh, yeah, bro, we coming out the woodworks, bro. Apologize for slandering Paul George. Well, apologize to him, bro. He needs to apologize to me for making me watch the garbage he put on TV. They talking about, yo, you got garbage takes. Well, he got garbage play. Why aren't y'all coming at him? What, y'all want to talk about, oh, yeah, the 41. Guess what, bro? This dude is wild, bro. This dude, my son can't walk, and he got a better field goal percentage than this man. Are we talking about playoff P or pandemic P? Bro, come on, bro. Yo, do this man like the whole 6 feet rule, and I promise you this man still won't make nothing, bro. Dude is a walking liability. Talking about, yeah. Oh, yeah, bro. Look, man, there's I hate it.
I'm going to second you on that one. I'm definitely going – pandemic P as well, because I do think that the Clippers are going to lose tonight, and I think that doesn't matter how well you play, if you're going to lose the game, it's going to make you pandemic P, because that's just the way that we're going to judge it at the end of the day. And you know, it sucks for him, but he did it to himself, so I really can't feel extremely bad for him. Listen, I think that he is a good player. I'm not going to sit here and call him a bad player, because I think Paul George is definitely more than a serviceable NBA player. 6'8", can hit a shot from anywhere, definitely serviceable, can defend the wing. I don't think he's an elite defender at this degree of his career, but he's definitely serviceable on both ends. If you have him on your team, you might not win a championship, but if he's like your third guy and maybe your fourth guy, he's a good option for you to have either way. But when you put it, like you said, if you're putting all your baskets on him, it's just not happening. It's not. So I do think that Pandemic P is going to come out to play Sander. He's going to go out there. He's going to try hard. But I'm telling you, if this game comes down and it's very tight, let's say if you go into the fourth quarter, Sander, and it's, let's call it 88-85. Clippers up, they lose. Like they got to at least have a 7-point lead going into the fourth quarter for the Clippers to win this game in the fourth quarter.
Well, I mean, hey, if, like I said, if there's anybody that can do it, because history shows that this man, Ty Lue, can coach his damn ass off in elimination games. I hear his record's like 10-2, 10-3, something like that in elimination games. So if there's anybody that can win a game like this, coaching-wise, it's Ty Lue. And at the end of the day, though, guys, I say they're going to lose the game. But if Paul George goes out there and gives you 40, 45, I mean, maybe gets playoff.
I'll give you this. If he does drop 40, that will be playoff P.
In a loss. It's okay.
In a loss. I'll give you that playoff. Actually, I'll even lower the bar 35+.
Give me 35+.
Double-double. You got to at least give me a double-double if you're going to give me 35.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
Because I don't think he's going to be the guy. I think it's going to be Reggie Jackson that's going to really –
He's been the guy the past 25. 7 games, bro.
Did you not just hear the stats I read out to you,
no,
bro?
No, I hear you, but he's averaging 30, Pride. He's still averaging 30, bro.
Bro, I'm going to tell you this right now. You could average 30. If it's taking you about 27 shots to get it, that's not good. Because not only are those empty possessions, now with those shots you're bricking because, look, the Clippers are not a good offensive rebounding team. So it's not like he can just go ahead and go, and if he breaks it, oh man, I got faith that Zubac is gonna bring down the thing, man, because he gonna out rebound DeAndre Ayton. You see what I'm saying? Like this is a dude who, like, again, the best shooting in this series, the best shooting he's done other than last night, is about 43%, which is not good.
The only time the Clippers won in this series is when Paul George goes off for over 35. And he has a running mate that gives him 25 to 30, like Reggie Jackson that gave him 28, Morris that gave him 20. So those are the only times they've won games.
No. Because before that, he shot like 9 for something, bro.
I'm talking about the games that they won. The games that they had won,
he shot 9 for like 26 or something like that. He shot like
and Reggie Jackson had like 31 points that game.
But it wasn't because of him.
No, not him. But you take away.
That's what he said. Yeah,
it's not because of him. He needs a guy with him. He can't be the only guy. The only reason they've won these only two games in the series is because he's had a guy that's matched him or can give him some production. But if it's just Paul George, guys, and Paul George just gives you a 40 piece, and Reggie Jackson gives you fucking 18, and Morris doesn't produce, then they're gonna get smacked. They're gonna lose. But you still getting production from Paul George.
But that's the thing, though. Like, he's not giving you consistent production. Like, if you're just looking at the points, you got me. Because, yeah, there was, like, a stat where he was, like, it was, like, 20, at least 20 points for, like, a certain stretch, right?
They haven't been blown out. The Clippers haven't been blown out this series.
Let me ask you a question. If you lose by one, if you lose by 30, do you still lose?
Stop me if I am. We have spoken on this show in the NBA. It's not just the fact that you win. It's how you look when you win. So it definitely does matter, Pride, if the Clippers win games or lose games close or get blown out. And the Clippers have not been blown out this entire series. It's been competitive. Bro, they have not lost the game this entire series by 10 points.
Hold on. The game, remember that sloppy game they had where it was like 80 to 84 or something like that? It was like a real sloppy, low-scoring game. It was close, right? And your man took two free throws back to back.
I hear you on that, but he's trying to be. He's doing an effort, bro. He's doing an effort.
Let me ask you a question.
If Paul George wasn't giving you the 30 that he's giving you, regardless of the efficiency, if he was giving you 25 points, bro, the Clippers would have been swept. So
I disagree.
I'm just going to make this clear because I'm not sure if you're getting this or not, but nobody is disagreeing with you that hasn't been efficient. He's only had one good game.
But Light is saying that the efficiency doesn't matter because what he's trying to say is if you subtract his points, then they would have lost. My thing is, I don't think so because you have a guy like Luke Kennard who's not getting that many shots because Paul George is putting up too many shots. If you give him some, maybe he makes it. I'm not going to say it's a definite. Maybe he makes them. You give Reggie Jackson a few more ISOs, maybe he converts. So my thing is like, it's horrible efficiency. If you walk away with empty possessions, that's not good. You see what I'm saying? That's kind of my knock on him because if you're not being efficient, look, I'm going to put it to you this way. Because you're saying he's trying to be that guy. If I'm trying to dunk and I graze net, did I dunk? No, right? So it don't matter how I jump. It don't matter that I gave it my all. At the end of the day, I couldn't do it. And that's Paul George. He wants to be that guy. Unfortunately for him, to quote the great TikTok, you're not that guy, pal. Trust me, you're not that guy. And unfortunately for him.
And I'm not going to disagree with you, Pride. I agree with you 100% on your premise. But at the moment, Kawhi's not there. He has to wear the shoes, whether he dances or not.
I don't don't think so. Because what I would do,
he's paid to be the number two, right?
Right. But it's the same thing with Chris Middleton. If you're paid to be the number two and you're not being that guy, they still need to put you out there regardless. So my thing is, like, bro, in clutch time, he should not have the ball. They should be giving it to Reggie Jackson or try to find somebody or run some sets where you could try to get some guys open or something like that. That's what I would do, because putting the ball in his hands, I mean, he's showing us that he's not that guy.
It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about, like, it's about Steve Ballmer's rich ass talking about, I gave this guy 100-something million. Here's the damn ball. I gave you 100 million. Make a freaking shot.
But the thing is, bro, 100 million to Steve Ballmer, bro, that's nothing. He wipes it behind.
The craziest thing is, like, Steve Ballmer plays franchise mode in real life.
With salary cap on. Because if it was off, say, holy, hola, mierda.
Bro, I'm telling you right now. He's going to do a block trade, and he's gonna get, like, a big three, and he's going to pay him so much. And we're just going to be like, okay, bro, we need to go back to the salary cap rule. Because the way this guy can just get away with it, bro, this is wild, bro.
Yo, watching Paul George miss those free throws when he was like this, right? He's probably like this close from saying, you know what? This can say, hold that luxury tax. I'll pay whatever that shit is. Give me everybody.
He'll pay luxury tax. He got it. 100%. Nonetheless, guys, I am very excited for game six tonight. I think it's going to be a must watch. I think game sixes and game sevens are always must watch for me. So make sure you guys watch it tonight. But I do want to transition to the NFL, because there's a little spicy drama going on there with possibly a little slight of colluding, because Davante Adams was asked about, you know, how would it be if he were to team up with former Fresno State quarterback, now Las Vegas Raider, Derek Carr. He said, it'd be a dream to play with Derek Carr again, but I'm currently a Packer, and so that's different. I don't know, guys. We're all in committed relationships. If I were to tell somebody, oh yeah, it'll be a dream to be with this girl, but I'm with my fiance right now. But until that's different, you know, whatever. I don't think that's gonna go down too well in the household, Pride. If you know, anybody knows me, my fiance is Charlotte. If she would have heard me say some bull jive like that, I'm gonna have a couple questions come my way. I'll probably get punched first, and then the questions come after. No, I'm just playing. But nonetheless, what do you think about this? Good idea, bad idea for these two guys to possibly be to team up in the Raiders?
Well, first and foremost, he's going to get fined, right? Because that's like tampering, right? Like,
For sure.
So there's a couple steps.
Carr gets fined for that?
No. Devontae. Because Devontae was the one who said this.
So,
like, bless him, bro.
It all depends how bad they want Devontae for this.
But the thing is, bro, we in a league where, like, if you say a guy's a good player, they try to find you. So that's kind of where we are. But to answer the question, there's, like, some steps we got to go in. First of all, we got to understand something. Davante Adams does not care about the Packers organization. He does not care about Green Bay. He's there for one man only. That's Aaron Rodgers. The instant Aaron Rodgers leaves, this man is right behind him. If I'm Davante Adams, if Aaron Rodgers signs a 5-year contract and the last 2 years are team options, guess what I'm doing? I'm signing me a 3-year deal. You ain't leaving me behind, dry long. You ain't leaving me here by myself. You out your mind. No disrespect to Jordan Love whatsoever, but you're going from an all-time great Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. Listen, man, ain't nobody going to do that unless you're a rookie with no choice. Davante Adams
is established. That's if they keep Jordan Love.
They're going to have to.
That's another conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. First and foremost, they got to figure out what's going to happen with that man, Aaron Rodgers. That's step one. Now, I think, because after everything that's been going on, right, the organization has doubled down with Mike Gutekunst. Right?
It doubled down. That took me a while.
Yeah, because the thing is, I want to call him something else, but
I know.
You know what I'm trying to say, so that's why I got to try to, you know. But they're doubling down with him and saying, this is our guy. So what that tells me says, okay, you guys made your choice. That's fine. I think it's more likely we see Derek Carr in a Green Bay uniform. That's just me. Because if you're going to trade him and Davante Adams go, hey, bro, I want Derek Carr, I'm going to be a fool to go, okay, cool, trade him to San Francisco and get nobody and then be like, all right, Jordan's your team. Question mark? Like, so me personally, Should Aaron Rodgers stay? Yes, because, again, I've said this before. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you leave, you're the dumbest man on God's green earth because they've given you everything. You're coming off two back-to-back NFC championships. And for all the hoopla about him saying, oh, my God, they never got me help in the first round. Guess what? Neither did Tom Brady. That man got six. I lied. Seven. What a goat. Man, I love him. Have y'all heard Tom Brady? You heard Tom Brady? Yo, my man said, yo, they picked that MF-er over me. And guess what that MF-er probably is? Derek Carr. Imagine. That's tough. But yeah. In terms
I think he was referring to Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what I think.
Because
I think he wanted to go to San Francisco, and they were like, you know, we're gonna stick with Jimmy G for another year. He's like, yo, y'all could have me. Y'all gonna pick that mofo? Y'all crazy.
But yeah, after New England traded him, and look what that. But anyway, I wouldn't mind it because I think Derek Carr is a solid quarterback. I don't think he's great, but if you give him a solid number one. Duke is skyrocketing. Feel me? Like right now, where the Raiders are, you know, I like it. You know, if Devontae Adams were to go there, because if I'm not mistaken, this is his final year, so he will walk over to free agency. I don't think it'll be a bad idea. I really don't, because if you go there, he's the de facto number one. So it's not like he's got to go there and he's got to be like, okay, let me, you know, I
listen, wanna- pride, and I, and I'm gonna let you finish, but I just want to make this point. You say he's the de facto number one. I come on here today, and I think Devontae's the best receiver going into the new year. He don't fall in the top three. He don't fall in the top three. If you put Devontae in the top three, someone's bugging.
No, if you don't have
him top three, that's all I'm saying. At least.
Based off of last season, he could be number one.
The only people who don't have him top three are Packers fans today because they're mad because they think he's going to leave. That's the only people who don't have him top three. That's really it. But honestly, I wouldn't mind it. I think with a guy solid like Derek Carr, a solid guy, mind you, they have some chemistry. Like at Fresno, they actually did their thing. Like Derek Carr would throw the ball, and it was like they weren't good throws, but it was just Derek Carr. They've played with each other for so long that he's like, I know he's gonna be here. I know where his hands are gonna be, and that's something that like doesn't go away. Like Julian Edelman's retired, right? He could retire, be away for 3 years, come back, play with Tom his final year, and them two will pick up just like him and Gronk. Him and Gronk ain't playing with years. He stepped up.
You know what it's like, bro? It's like when you go to the house party and you're like, you try to play Pong, and there's just a guy like, yo, you trying to be my partner? All right, bet. And y'all start winning games, and you're like, yo, we partners for the rest of the night, bro.
100%, bro. Like, you guys end up being good with each other. You're like, yo, after this party, bro, let's hang out. You guys start playing. You get to know each other. You vibe. You guys end up not seeing each other until the next party, and y'all pick up, boom, right where y'all left off. Boom. That's what this is. Exactly. They're going to pick up. I think, I honestly, if I'm Adams, I wouldn't mind it. You know, go. And granted, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's better than Jordan Love. And that's how Devontae Adams needs to look at this. Like, okay, fine. Aaron Rodgers is gone. Whoever's my replacement needs to be better than Jordan Love. If my replacement is not, if the replacement quarterback is not better than Jordan Love, I'm going to go to a place where they have a quarterback better than Jordan Love. Green Bay right now is in a tough spot because, again, and all they got to do is fire one guy. They fire one guy. This isn't happening. They fire one guy. This entire issue doesn't happen. So, again, to me, it looks like Devontae Adams is lining. He's got plan B ready. He's got it. He's got it in his back pocket. He just waiting. He goes, yo, Aaron, you out? You got to say but a word, chief. He going to come out. He going to go in the office. He punching Brian in the face. He going, see? Now, nah, y'all can't have me here. Trade me. Like, that's what he going to do, bro. He going to go up. He going to start smacking people, bro, breaking locker room and whatnot. But in terms of, like, the idea, as long as Aaron Rodgers leaves and he's not in Green Bay and Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers split, I think this is a good idea because, again, if I'm Devontae, as long as his replacement is better than Jordan Love, I ain't gonna be too upset.
Yeah, no, yo, you right, probably with a lot of things that you said, but you know, I think that you missed out on a few things. I don't think it's not only just Derek Carr is an upgrade from Jordan Love if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back, but the Raiders are one of the few teams next season, after next season, that would be in line to pay him a mega deal because the Raiders aren't strapped with money like they were before. They let go of a lot of big contracts. So I'm sure when Derek Carr is talking about saying he'll do anything, basically I'm going to paraphrase, move hell and hot water, I'm telling you, man will do anything to get Devontae Adams in Las Vegas, so they say, so the reports say when they ask them. But nonetheless, guys, this – he said something that was real clear, guys. I'm a Packer right now. So regardless to what, right now his focus is on Green Bay.
You know what I got to ask, Sander?
What?
He said, I'm a Packer until Aaron tells me I'm not.
And there you go. Because, you know, you're right, because, right. Because that's what it is. I mean, even when he was asked weeks ago about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he was saying that, look, we love him. We got his back with whatever decision we make. But, hey, I got to make sure that I know what I do for my future, because he didn't specifically say, well, my future with the Packers. He said my future as himself, because he doesn't give about Green Bay. You're right, Friday. He doesn't. He's just there because his man that's throwing him the ball, Aaron Rodgers, is making him look godly. You got JJ and a bunch of other guys who have him as the number pro-rated receiver statistically, too, coming off of last season's numbers going into this season. So, yeah, he wants to make sure his numbers don't dip.
Who are you putting at one, Sander? Who are you putting over Devontae? I'm
it's
curious.
It's a toss-up. It's toss-up between him and Nuke. I still think Nuke is a top three receiver. But
for me, it goes Nuke, MT, and then I'll put Devontae Adams.
Okay.
That's my list. But again, if my thing is, if Nuke ain't number one, I don't know. And I'm not even a Nuke fan. I'm not even that big of a fan of it.
Yeah.
But I put Nuke at two, but I got it. Devontae, Nuke, Stephon.
Is it one and one A? One B.
You say you got
Stephon Diggs had a blowout season last season, but I mean, no, he's a good guy. He's a top five, top ten guy. Stephon Diggs. Yeah, but nonetheless, guys, you know, Devontae Adams, he has to make sure he's treading on light water a little bit, because nonetheless, he's still playing for Green Bay. So he has to be mindful of what he says, because he definitely said, I'm a Packer right now. Of course, the guy works out with Derek Carr during the offseason. They have a bunch of videos on both of their social medias working out together. You would think Devontae Adams works out with Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure he does, but he's not publicizing it like he is with Derek Carr, because they were roommates in Fresno State. They were, you know, they were friends in on the offense. You see that he favored him in the offense. They put up good numbers together, and they had a relationship even after when they were drafted. They weren't obviously playing together, but they still kept a close bond together. Supposedly, you know, Derek Carr be having Devontae Adams over for dinner. They, you know, their families know each other. So when, you know, when the Raiders go up to play Green Bay, it's kind of like that picture with Mutchin and Cole's kids. It's that type of vibe when it comes to Carr and Devontae Adams. So, of course, the want to play together is there. Go ahead.
My bad. And I'm sorry if I cut you off, Sander. I'm looking at this picture right here. You know, it's this graphic that I picked up, because, like you mentioned, Derek Carr and Devontae, they really do have a really good personal friendship with each other. They go back to Fresno State. You know, they just have this personal bond. And I feel like the last time I saw something like this picture, something very similar to this, it was when Kyrie and KD, Kevin Durant, were kiki-keying in the all-star locker room with each other, talking about, oh, how cool would it be if we played together, yada, yada, yada. Brooklyn got two max slots coming up, yada, yada, yada. You're a free agent next year. Las Vegas is going to have the money, and they're pretty sure one of the better venues now in Las Vegas. A star like Devontae Adams, Sander, will be a huge pool for Las Vegas Raiders.
100%. But JJ, if the Raiders Raiders were basically saying our Super Bowl is how much money we make, then guess what? They're gonna be making a lot of cake. But nonetheless, even if they add, let's say if they add Devontae Adams next season through free agency, does that really take them over the hump and make them contender over the Chiefs, the Bucks?
I mean, hear me out.
Yes.
And if you put Devontae Adams on there, like I said, you're getting the top three, at worst, top five wide receiver. The clear one there. Mm-hmm. And my personal list that we did, I think it was on Friday, we did the running back list. I got Josh Jacobs emerging as one of the better backs this year. So you're going to put Josh Jacobs, you're going to put Devontae Adams.
And top tight end.
Darren Waller.
Top 20 at quarterback with Carr. You got an emerging tight end in Waller. You got a guy in Ruggs in year two now, a burner back from Alabama, who really gets over the top of guys, but really has had trouble doing it because they don't have a clear one. Last year they had Nelson Aguilar as the one, and it's like you're going to place Aguilar with Devontae Adams. That's definitely going to open up the door for you if you're Henry Ruggs. So Do I think that if they get Davante Adams, do I think that the Raiders are capable of putting up 25, 28, possibly 30 points a game? Yeah. That's not out of the world there, Sander.
Yeah, but now they also defense, they have to defend, story. Though. They have to defend, you know, JJ. That's
a, well, we said the same thing about the Chiefs.
True, but they
did the same thing, and they were like, all the Chiefs needed was to put up 25 to 30 points. Make sure their thing was all
yeah,
their,
but you got some guys on that Chiefs, bro. You got some guys
on that Chiefs. And I'm gonna let you finish after this.
On that Raiders team. You still they're gonna if you get Davante Adams, they're gonna do that same game plan where they're gonna be like, we have a running back who can give us what we need. We have a number one, we have a tight end who like will start on at least 10 different franchises.
And Pride, I'm gonna piggyback off your point. I'm gonna pass it back to you, Sanders, so we can keep going to conversation. But you got Kansas City in the division. You got to be able to put it up 30 because at the end of the day, the defense is going to come to a minute point at some point because the league, at least in the regular season, doesn't focus too much on defense. It's really come playoff time that the better defenses buckle down. And then if your offense gets tight, good night, Irene. But you got Kansas City in that division. You got to put up points. I think we all saw Justin Herbert. Now he's coming. So they got to put up points of that young man with Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, they don't even have the tight end anymore. He's in New England now, Hunter Henry. But nonetheless, they're coming. And then who's the other team in that division that I'm forgetting? You got the Chiefs, you got the Raiders, you got the Broncos. The Broncos are still a little away, but they're tough defensively. They're not gonna roll over to you. You guys play them twice a year. If the Broncos beat the Raiders in an upset, Sander, nobody's surprised. It's just one of those things that happen. So just based on the division alone, you're going to have to be able to put up points.
For sure. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's not a good idea by any stretch of the imagination. Of course.
We all think it's a good idea.
Because Jesus Christ, if you're thinking Jordan Love is going to be a quarterback, then and you looking to get paid that season, you got to move. You got to move. But you kill
two birds
and
one stone.
Of course. But, you know. Nonetheless, you know, I guess I'll concede my point. You know, you got right after making that argument that maybe Davante Adams added to that offense. You know, I completely forgot about Darren Waller. And I don't know about Josh Jacobs being that high as a running back. But I guess with an addition like Davante Adams, it can maybe open up more opportunity for Josh Jacobs in that offense. And, you know, at the end of the day, guys, it's really just relying on what Aaron Rodgers does. Because you know what? If he does come back and he does sign a contract, then guess what? Davante Adams is going to be a free agent. He will sign a contract. And you know what, Pride? What you said didn't sound too off. Because it sounds like something Aaron Rodgers would do. It makes sure he has an option. And players are going to be like, you know what? I'm only here for as long as Rodgers is here. Because after that, you guys play nobody else. So I'm out too.
Yep. And yeah, like if I'm Davante Adams, first thing I do, I guarantee you he's already talked to Aaron. And I guarantee you Aaron already told him what his plan is. I guarantee if I'm Davante Adams,
be a fly on the wall.
Bro, if I'm him, I talk to him. And as soon as that finished, because I guarantee you, before Aaron Rodgers came out with this, because every single time the Packers played to the Raiders, every single time Davante Adams, win, lose, or draw, first person he looks for is Derek Carr. Their relationship reminds me of Derek Jeter and A-Rod. But when A-Rod was with the Mariners, before they had beef, before he went to Texas, before A-Rod was like, oh, yeah, he won't get paid as much, before all that stuff went down, the dudes would sleep at each other's houses.
They're boys.
If Seattle was playing at Yankee Stadium, guess who was at Jeter's house? A-Rod. That's the same thing they have. They have the whole thing. They chop it up whenever they play, and they're in Adams will leave Green Bay about a day early so he can go spend time with him. He'll bring his family and they'll spend time with each other. Like, so I guarantee they've had the conversation before. Like, bro, what if we play with each other? Oh, that'd be kind of cool. And as soon as Aaron Rodgers stuff came up, yo, bro, I think we could play with each other. Derek Carr, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Now that we're starting to get closer, I guarantee you Davante Adams already knows I'm out of here. He probably already talked to Aaron, and if Aaron said, I'm gone, he said, all right, call it two. Like,
so real quick. So do I not look so crazy now that we're like a few?
No, you still look crazy.
Because Aaron Rodgers is still not showing up today, and y'all both were talking about he was going to play.
You still look crazy because you were basically implying, regardless of what the Green Bay Packers were going to do, he was going to leave. our thing, me and JJ both said, if they fire the GM, he will stay. But we both did say the closer you start getting to like the preseason, if we start getting too close and you're not firing him, you've already made the decision. They already made the decision. So at this point, even if they fire him, unless they give him a 5-year max deal, Aaron Rodgers is going to dip. He probably is going to end up, right now they have to give him everything. And when I say everything, I'm talking about 20% of the Green Bay Packers now belong to Aaron Rodgers. That's how deep they got to go in, bro. Because they screwed this up so bad.
They already partner-owned.
Bro, they got it. Bro, well, guess what? They're going to have to figure something out.
A group-owned company.
They might call it Lombardi / Rodgers Field, something like that.
No. You got to rename it. Forget Lombardi. You guys are down so bad. You got to wipe Lombardi from your history for a few years. Just for a few. Then when Aaron leaves, you can change it back to Lombardi. But while he's playing, you got to call it Aaron Rodgers Field. You have no choice. You back yourself into a corner. You got no choice.
I'll finish the section like this. Pride, you mentioned maybe a possible Derek Carr Aaron Rodgers trade. Doesn't sound like the most off idea that I've heard in my life. Maybe the Packers should give us a listen because maybe that could work out for both parties. Salary caps are very similar. If you just match up a couple other players, you never know. But like we say, a lot of smart things on the show that need to be heard out there. That's what I think.
It's crazy, yo, because these dudes. Bro, these dudes, to piggyback what Light was saying earlier, these dudes get paid millions to literally lie. And we not getting, we telling the truth. Yeah. Bro.
Yo. Pride says, I be flip-flopping. Dude, have you been watching Kendrick Perkins? The dude straight up said.
I can't no more.
Is wrong all the time. And he's talking about, I'm right half the time all the time.
There was a clip on YouTube, right? And they were like, they basically had a compilation of how many times this dude flip-flopped. No lie, over 45 minutes. 5 minutes in, I was so dizzy, I threw up. This dude is out of control. They got to get him. If he's on TV, bro, no cap, we going to own something like ESPN. No lie, bro. If he on TV, hey. We making it, bro. We making so billions,
if KP,
bro.
If KP is on saying blasphemy like that, hey, Molly, get on TV.
It's like, bro. Listen, guys. All I know is, guys, we going to make it. We going to make it. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport and on Twitch.tv/ Clover Crisp Media Group. Make sure you guys check out the awesome website, clovercrispmedia.com/StirThePotSports. And make sure you guys check us out on Spotify under CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be there. I feel like I say sports a lot in that sentence, but that's what we do here, baby. Sports.
I just want to say one thing real quick before we get out. Because, you know, we're not going to be on tomorrow, right? And this tomorrow is a very special day. Very special day. I just want to say tomorrow is going to be Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Bonilla. I hate that.
Bonilla.
I try to say it like English, but I can't.
Bobby Bonilla Day.
Right, this man getting paid $1.19 million.
Oh, that's today.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's the mañana, bro, and we're not gonna be on. So I just want to say, hey, yo, Bobby,
congratulations,
you did it, bro. You're living the American dream, bro. This man finessed the New York. And listen, bro, as much as I hate New York, and we all know the anger, the hatred I have for it, when you can finesse New York City. That's a hero to me.
His agent needs a statue.
100%.
I'm just saying, for anybody that wants to put it into context of how long Bobby Bonilla is going to continue getting paid, I believe he's getting paid until the year after Patrick Mahomes' super deal.
100%. Yes.
And he hasn't been playing for the MLB for
I think it's like 2002. Yeah, like 02, 03, something like that. That was like
it's almost been 20 years.
And my man getting paid over $1 million a year. Hey, yo, Bobby, I want to be like you when I grow up.
I love July 1st, best day of the year.
I love it, bro. I used to not care about July 1st. And then when I found out about this, I was like, not all heroes wear capes, bro. Not all heroes wear capes.
I'm your host, JJ Vargas, Riley Barrett, Sanders Sanchez. Have a happy Bobby Bonilla Day tomorrow, guys. We'll see you guys so funny.